Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. Well, today is Free Advice Friday, the day that I take your calls and answer your questions about your narcissistic abuse issues. I'd also like to hear from you if you have some suggestions or just want to share what you've been through. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 424-220-1801. That's 424-220-1801. I hope that you do call in because it really makes the show more interesting when people can hear what you've been through or what your questions are. So I wanted to start by talking about the two shows that I've done this week in honor of the 17th year of after 9/11. And on 9/11, I actually had the grief therapist Edie Nathan, and on 9/13, I had the 9/11 widow Lisa Luckett. But the reason I'm bringing up these shows, and I don't know if you listened or if you didn't listen, but I want you to listen, because those two shows hit on major aspects of narcissistic abuse healing. From two people who have, one is an expert and the other who has learned this through trauma, and she is, both of them are very, very inspiring. So I always try to bring up parts of the subject matter that will relate to narcissistic abuse so that when you're listening, you will be able to glean that information and see how it applies in other kinds of situations of trauma and grief. So today I want to talk about the foundation that narcissistic abuse childhood victims and survivors lack. So when we grow up in a household where our parents are focusing on our mental health, our welfare, they want us to be the best people we can be, the strongest people we can be, and they want us to go out into life as whole individuals who can really take care of themselves and excel. When you grow up in a family like that, you're given all the tools, you're given the foundations, you are built brick by brick from the bottom up to the point where when you get to be an adult, you are strong and ready to take that building higher because it's built on a very strong foundation. narcissistic abuse children, we don't have that foundation. Our life was built on a house of cards. And it is constantly, every time we build it to a certain level, it crumbles. It falls. We have no security underneath of us. And that's a very, very uncomfortable feeling. But it's at the seat of all our pain. Granted, we're hurting over certain individuals. We're hurting over the treatment that we got. And that does have to be worked out. It does have to be worked through. But once you realize what you're dealing with, it becomes a little bit easier to take yourself out of that equation and realize that this was never about you. But the one thing that's left over, the fact that you don't have the foundation of self-love and self-esteem and self-validation, self-approval, all these things that it takes to really go out into the world and feel comfortable with yourself. So we have to build these things. And I talk about self-love a lot, but I'm going to talk about it again because it is so important. It is the first brick in your foundation. It is everything. It is what we come into this world with. It is the right we have as a human being. We are supposed to love and care about ourselves. We've been taught by narcissists who have a sinister agenda that is not right, that is selfish, that we are supposed to care about them and others, and that to care about ourselves is selfish. But that's skewed. And what you have to remember is that this has been told to you by somebody who is a manipulator, who has a selfish agenda. And by keeping you from growing into the person you are meant to be, and you have every right to be, they keep you tied to them. And they get narcissistic supply, or as I like to say, they can feed off of you. They can continue to feed off of you. It doesn't matter how old you get, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Some people go to their grave still connected this way. So it's very important that we work on these kind of things, boundary setting, self-love, self-esteem. Self-love is really about fiercely protecting yourself in every situation. Going to yourself and saying to yourself, how does this make me feel? Am I going to let this in or am I not going to let this in? Sometimes boundaries are about asserting yourself verbally. Sometimes they're saying, stop, I don't like this. But sometimes they're saying, stop, you are not allowed to be in my space. And mentally, emotionally, physically, in my space. And even though we may not talk to these people, they may be far away, our mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, family, whatever the family situation is, if we don't set these boundaries and protect ourselves, they remain in our space. Because the tentacles, some have a few tentacles, some have many tentacles, and they connect to us. And until we separate ourselves from those emotions and from the toxicity of those people, we cannot heal. A lot of, I'm kind of going to change this to guilt because it's what hangs many of us up. And let me just say again, this is a call-in show. The number is 424-220-1801. I would love for you to call in, ask questions, or share. It is very important to the listeners. This show gets a lot of listeners. So what you have to say is important. It reaches far more than just those who are listening live. So I'd love to hear what you have to say. So let me talk about guilt, because guilt is one thing that keeps catching us and holding us back. We feel so guilty about asserting ourselves, about loving ourselves, about setting boundaries. Why do we feel guilty? Because we've been told that everything is our fault. We've been told that we're responsible for all the ills of our family. Not only that, but whatever goes wrong in their own personal lives. We are somehow made to feel responsible for that. We're also made to feel that we need to protect those who hurt us. It gets all twisted up in our minds, and we feel guilty. But let me tell you what guilt is. Guilt is a very important part of being human. And it's there to make us accountable for wrongdoings. If we do something, intended or not, and someone is hurt, and they express that hurt, or we know that person has been hurt, guilt makes us amends. It drives us to say we're sorry and to make whatever amends we can and to do the very best to make those amends. And once we make those amends, we do not need to feel guilty anymore. We may feel responsible, but we don't have to feel guilty. We have apologized. We have made amends. We have done what it takes to help the other person recover from our assault in whatever way it was. But you know, with narcissistic abuse, most of us are very kind people, because narcissists don't prey on people who aren't kind, sensitive, empathic, empathetic. So we are sensitive people, and we do care about how other people perceive us and how other people go out into the world and feel. And we often feel it's our responsibility to cushion that for everyone around us. We don't want other people to hurt. We know what it feels like to hurt. We don't want other people to hurt that we care about. And so we step in and we prevent it. So the reason I'm saying that is because if being out in the world is about helping other people and not wanting them to hurt, then you have nothing to feel guilty for. No matter who tells you, you are guilty or responsible. If you have done something out of the goodness of your heart and it's been taken the wrong way, then you don't have to feel guilty for it. But we carry these guilt feelings about our parents, about our siblings, about our children. Many of us, especially those who have been in marriages and have had children and have stayed in these marriages, once they're out of them and they have clarity, they look back and they feel terribly guilty for having put their children through this. But they never truly put their children through this. This was not a conscious decision on their part. If they could have left, if they could have had it a different way, it certainly would have been a different way. But remember that when you are under the spell of a narcissist, you are not thinking clearly. You cannot make decisions. You can't make decisions that can benefit you. You can't make decisions that can benefit your children. But the beautiful thing is, at some point, this survival instinct welled up inside of you, and you left. And that is the point in which you should feel powerful, like a superstar, because you did it. And I'm telling you that not everybody can do that. Some people stay. And they subject their children to these things for years and years and years. And the legacy continues from generation to generation. So if you're feeling guilty for having stayed in a relationship with your children, let it go. But you know, there is one thing that you can do before you let it go. You can apologize to your children for whatever they experienced while you were there, or whatever you lacked while you were there. And you can ask them how you can make it up. It doesn't mean you need to feel guilty for it, but it does mean that you can make amends to your children for things that they're hurt by. It doesn't mean that you meant to do it, but you can rectify it. Again, this is a call-in show. If you'd like to call in and share your perspective or ask your questions, the number is 424-220-1801. So getting back to guilt. We all feel guilty about having to set boundaries when we've never set them before. We think that we are hurting other people by doing that. And we think that people will exit our lives, that people will yell at us, that it won't go well. And I'm here to tell you that if you're dealing with a narcissist, it won't go well. You can almost, not almost, you can 100% count on that. It will not go well. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, but it will not go well. And so many people will write to me and say, this boundary setting thing doesn't work. I set a boundary and things got worse. Well, they will get worse. Because what does setting a boundary do to a narcissist? It takes away their supply. And when they lose their supply, what do? They get angry. So then you're left with the choice. Do I let them cross my boundaries so they won't get angry and then I feel miserable? Or do I assert my boundary and deal with the consequences? Narcissists are like little children almost. When you give them a boundary or tell them what's right or wrong, you must enforce it. You must stand behind it. If you don't, what do? Continue the behavior. And then what happens? You bring up a child who has no self-control. Well, the narcissist is never going to change like a child. You cannot change their mindset. But you can discipline them, and it is your right to do so. And if you don't, you will feel hurt all the time around this person because the tentacles will be in you. Whether they're with you or whether they're not with you. So when you set a boundary with a narcissist, you know, sometimes what they do is not even verbalized. Sometimes what they do is so covert that you don't even know where to begin. So what I recommend you do, and there's a chapter in my book about boundaries, and there's an exercise that I think is really great, and I really think it helps you to identify where your boundaries are weak and where they are not. And what you do with this exercise is you get a notebook or a journal, and every time you can think of something that this person did to you that made you feel uncomfortable, it doesn't have to be the worst thing in the world, It doesn't have to be classical abuse or what you would term classical abuse, but it has to be something that made you feel uncomfortable, made you feel like you were less than, worthless, responsible, guilty, any of these things. I want you to write these things down and just take your time. Keep writing and writing and writing, because these things will continue to come up. It's not that I want you to remember the incidents and hold on to them. No, I want you to remember the incidents so you know how bad these things made you feel and where you need to protect yourself. And that's what this exercise is about. So then, after you write what was done to you, then I want you to write about how it made you feel. You felt hurt. You felt guilty. You felt inferior. You felt wrong. You felt stupid. Whatever it was that it made you feel. And then look at that and assert yourself in writing. I will never allow anyone or so-and-so or whatever you want to do that to me and make me feel inferior, guilty, whatever it is that you felt. I will never allow that person to make me feel that way again. And as you go through this, you will identify the places where your boundaries are the weakest. For some of us, we have none. For some of us, we're able to assert them in the world. We can go to work and be and set perfect boundaries in our workplace without a problem. And you know why we can do this? Because we're assured of who we are in that role. We're comfortable. We know what we're doing. So when we tell someone to cut it out, we're sure of what we're saying. But in our personal arena, in our emotional arena, we're not necessarily comfortable. We're floundering around. We're flopping around trying to figure this out, trying to figure out who we are in this world with these people. And wanting to be a good person and not understanding why being a good person is not acceptable. Well, when you set boundaries, you are still a good person. Think about the people in your life, maybe clergy or anyone, a teacher or anyone that really speaks to you or you respect. Think about trying to cross a boundary with them and what would happen. Think about what they would say, how they would react, what they would do. We don't cross boundaries with people we respect. And it doesn't make them a bad person because they have these boundaries. No, it just makes them someone that can be respected and someone that knows who they are and they know where they let off and others begin. Because in doing the work, as a teacher or a clergy, a priest, a rabbi, whatever it is, they deal with people all the time. And they cannot let people cross boundaries because they want to help people. So there it is. You see, good people who have strong boundaries. And this is what I'm talking about when I talk about setting boundaries. So it's okay to tell people that that doesn't feel right and thank you for not doing that again. Or please don't say that to me. I don't say it to you. Don't say it to me. But you have to understand that boundary setting goes a step further, and that is the consequence. And this is where you can relate it to children. If you do not have a consequence for crossing your boundary, then why not cross it? So I want to go back to what I was saying about how it incites the anger of the narcissist. It will. They will go crazy. And the more you try to enforce it, the crazier they're going to get, the louder they're going to get, the more control they're going to try to have over you. But that's just because they're scared. Boundaries are scary to a narcissist. They do not want them. It's like throwing holy water on a demon. It hurts. It's painful. So they are going to lash out. And it will be intimidating. But don't let that stop you. The one thing to remember is that when you do this, you only want to have a consequence that you can enforce. Because when they act out, you will need to enforce the consequence. So you want to start small with little things that you can enforce. You don't want to say to somebody, if you ever talk to me like that again or do that again, I will never speak to you. Because if you're not ready to speak to them, you know, to stop contact with them, then they just blew right through that boundary. So you start small with, if I'm on the phone with you and you begin to say XYZ or put me down or whatever, I will hang up the phone. If we're together and you do XYZ, I will leave. And then you have to do it. But those are things you can do without completely destroying your relationship, because narcissists will take you back no matter what. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you hang up on them. It doesn't matter if you walk away. They want the supply you have to offer. They're going to take you back. So this is a good way to start. But don't feel guilty about setting boundaries. It is what you have to do to feel better. It is what you have to do to empower yourself. And with each boundary that you set, no matter how small, you will feel more and more empowered. And you'll say to yourself, wow, this was really easy. I thought this was going to be so hard, but it's really easy. I can do this. And then you become better at it. And then you can hone in your boundaries. And over time, you can make consequences are finite. You might never want to see that person again. But you can't make that decision right away, and you don't have to make that decision right away. This is about reversing the power in the relationship. Narcissists only hold power over you when they can have power over you. When you tell them what it is they cannot do, they lose control over you. And they try to get it back. Sometimes they'll stay away, thinking, if I stay away, she'll forget about it. He'll forget about it. Or he'll want me so much that when I come back, it'll be easy breezy for me to just waltz right back in their life. Or I'm going to let this person just stew on this for a little while and think that they got through to me. And then I'm going to come back with some hoovering. And I'm going to suck them back in because I know I can suck them back in. I know I'm way smarter than they are. So this is what goes through their minds. So sometimes they react, sometimes they disappear. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing that goes on in their mind. I need supply, and I'm going to get it back somehow. I'm either going to use intimidation and bullying, or I'm going to pretend that I heard them and then come back when they're weaker. Because I don't really believe that this boundary they're setting is going to hold up. It never has. It won't now. So boundary setting is very scary to the narcissist. So if you do it and you get this whole big blowout, you're a horrible person. You're selfish. They will throw the book at you. Of course. Of course they will. And they may do it the first couple of times you try to set a boundary. But if they have something to lose each time, and you have to make it specific to something they don't want to lose. If you do that, eventually they're going to say, all right, I got to comply because it's the only way I'm going to preserve the supply that I get with them or from them. So don't feel guilty about setting boundaries with people in your life. It's what you have to do to teach the world about who you are and what you're about. It's about teaching the world to accept you on your terms. And yes, you are allowed to have your own terms. We each are. Your terms for living are going to be completely different from anyone else's terms for living that has ever existed. You are unique in that way. And so it's hard to know what your terms of protecting yourself and who you are. Sometimes it's hard to know that. So then I'm going to refer you back to the book because this is where all the exercises are. But there's a chapter called Learning to Love Yourself. It's chapter 31. And I've talked about this before. When you're parented in a healthy way, you're shown that you matter in life. But when you're raised to think that your needs and desires don't matter, meeting your own needs is a very foreign concept. So in this chapter, I have you go through all the things that are under self-understanding, all the things that fall under the title, the heading of self-acceptance and self-appreciation and self-respect and self-forgiveness and self-protection and self-pampering. And you may, as you go through this, find that you've achieved self-understanding, but you have not achieved self-appreciation. Maybe there's something about your body that you're not particularly happy about and you don't like it. Maybe you cannot forgive yourself for something that you did. And going back to that, you know, let me just elaborate on that. When you do something that you're not proud of, in a relationship with a narcissist, that is not you. That is not the person that you are, and you do not have to feel guilty for it. You were goaded into that behavior because that's what narcissists do, so that they can then prove to you that you are who they say you are. So they will provoke you and goad you into that behavior until the point you can't take it anymore and you lash out and you say horrible things or you do horrible things or you hit somebody or whatever it is, you run away, you turn to drugs, you turn to alcohol, whatever it is. But understand that the narcissist will get you to the boiling point where you will do things you would not normally do. So I don't want you to feel guilty for those things. So when I talk about self-forgiveness, it's accepting that you're not perfect, forgiving your mistakes, forgiving errors in your judgment, forgiving your vulnerabilities, forgiving others, learning and growing from your experiences, letting go of false guilt, allowing yourself to try again or start over, making amends, and then letting things go. The other heading is self-protection and self-pampering. So I want you to, if you don't already have this book, I want you to get a copy of the book because everything is in this book. And it will really show you what you need to work on. you may not need to work on as much as you think you need to work on. You may have achieved, as you go through life and you have life experiences, you may have achieved some of these aspects of self-love. But it's important that you have all the aspects of self-love. That you, if you go into the store and you want to buy something that's a little bit more expensive, but you really, really want it, and you can afford to do it right now, but you say, no, why should I do that for me? I don't deserve that. Do it. It's about going out into the world each day and doing something that makes you feel good about you. Even if it's just taking a walk and looking around. Whatever it is that brings you back to you and makes you feel good inside, that's what self-pampering is. It's treating yourself to nice things. It's taking mental health days from work or school when you really need them. It's saying, I'm worth it. So that's pretty much what I have to say today. We didn't have any callers. I hope next time you will call, and let me see what the date of that show is. We're into October. Okay. So my next show, my next call-in show will be on October 12th, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. The call-in number is always the same, 424-220-1801. If you think of something that you want to ask me and you don't feel comfortable calling in, email it to me. I will read that on air and I will answer your question. So take advantage of this time, because if you're listening, you have questions. You have something to contribute, and others need to hear that. Also, I have just want to remind you about the Facebook page, Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United. You can go there. There are lots of people there going through similar things. And you can also go to my other Facebook page, Randy G. Fine. And I post lots of things there. But everything I do is on my website, randygfine.com. I post articles. I post every show that I do. There are links to every show that I do there. So you will never be lost. There's descriptions. There's the title of the show, the date of the show, the description of the show. And all you got to do is click the link, and you will be taken to the show. Because after they air, they go into an archive, and they can be listened to at any time. So I thank you for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. Again, this is Randy Fine. I wish you joy and serenity in your life always. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.